Coming up on this episode of the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast.
When Tokyo police needed a crime solved, they turned to Jimmy Kudo, an inquisitive and popular young soccer ace with hopes of being the next Sherlock Holmes. Pretty big shoes to fill. But when the young detective is attacked after witnessing a crime, Jimmy discovers that the biggest shoes to fill might be his own. Forced to hide under the alias of six-year-old Conan Edogawa, Jimmy now looks to uncover the villains who drugged him. That, or leave it to the authorities.
You get the cause of death?
We're pretty sure it's the knife in his back, sir.
Case closed. Premiering Monday, May 24th at 12:30. Adult Swim.
Uberner 527 here. I'm a cartoon connoisseur, which means I love cartoons. Have since I was a kid. Now I'm trapped in an adult body. But don't worry, it hasn't diminished my love of cartoons. And now I get to share that passion with you here on the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast.
Here, welcome once again to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast, where we're going over cartoons past, present, and future, and talking a little bit about all things cartoons. I just want to first talk a little bit about where I've been lately. I have been on hiatus for a little bit because I am working on a secretive project that I can't really talk about yet, so I know it's a little of a mystery, which is funny because we're going to be talking about that today, but so I will be on hiatus for a little bit. These episodes will be a little bit more sporadic throughout the time, but I'm very excited, but unfortunately I just can't talk about what I'm working on right now, so I apologize for that, but we'll be seeing that. Now, as for Pokemon Rewind, unfortunately that's probably going to be shelved for a while now. So those of you who are fans of Pokemon Rewind, it is on the shelf. I'm not completely giving it up. Eventually I will come back to it. But for right now, we are going to put that on the shelf for now, and we're not going to worry about that for now. But I did want to come back with this show because I found something out. I found a cartoon that I really loved, and I thought I'd talk about it. And to help me talk about it, I have a friend of mine who I used to work with out at Disney, and who is now has now lived abroad, I guess, as broad as compared to me, anyways. Let me go ahead and introduce him, the man that I've been wanting to get on the podcast for a very long time, and that, of course, is Dubious Khan. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Pleasure to be here. So on and so forth, and other introductory things like that.
Cool. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a very long time, especially since we've actually worked together on several different things. We've done, you've done your Into the Idiot Box, and I've done the artwork for that. And we used to throw ideas out all the time when we were at Disney Quest. All the time. So I'm very excited for you to be here. So thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me.
So to this, the subject of this episode, in case you didn't already read, is a show called Case Closed. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, don't worry, we're going to go over what it is and what it's about here in just a minute. But the whole thing about this show is it's a mystery show. And I wanted to bring Dubious Khan on here because I wanted him to talk a little bit about it, because I know he's a big fan of mystery shows and kind of the mystery genre. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about it. Now, for those of you who don't know, mystery shows can be any kind of show that has some type of, obviously, a mystery. It could be a detective show. It could be a cop show. It could be anything, really, that it really just involves a mystery that a person or a group of people have to solve from beginning to end. And it's something that I think is not only just important to the mystery genre in itself, but also to every other media around, because everything has to do with mysteries. There's a mystery you have to unravel. There's something that stays in the shadows and you have to unravel it. And it's very, very important. So what do you think about all this, the mystery genre? And just talk a little bit about what you like about it, Dubious.
The mystery genre is one of my favorites. In fact, it is probably my favorite genre at all because I enjoy trying to figure things out. And usually more of an interest in things like crime and whatnot. It's also one of the mystery, it's ironically one of the largest genres, but also one of the underrepresented genres. I mean, you say mystery to most people, and they're thinking stuff like, you know, Agatha Christie or, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and stuff like that, and that's fine. And you don't see much of that kind of mystery anymore. In fact, to this point, for those who don't know, I host a show called Into the Idiot Box where I look at television. And it struck me that in the last 5 or 10 years, the word mystery has become a dirty word in TV. Even if a show is blatantly a mystery show, if the police are involved at any point, it becomes known as a police procedural.
Right.
Now, let me make this clear. Shows like the CSI franchise or the Law and Order franchises or whatever, those can be called police procedurals because it's about how the police go about finding a criminal and going from there. Shows like, for example, take the most recent example, Castle, are actually a mystery series because most of the stuff they do in Castle bears no resemblance to actual police work. Mm-hmm. None. But Castle keeps getting, while it was still on the air, it recently ended with this last season, keeps getting touted by critics and everyone else as a police procedural. I don't know why mystery suddenly became a dirty word, unless they're afraid of it being unfairly associated with shows like, you know, Murder, She Wrote and whatnot. Mm. So, anyway, but I've always enjoyed those types of stories, and really, that's one of the things, is that it's really hard in a lot of... It's easier to do in TV, I guess. I don't know why. But it seems to be easier to do in TV, but you don't see a lot of actual, like, mystery films anymore. It's like they're all either the big screen equivalent of a police procedural, or they devolve into action movies or psychological thrillers or what have you, where there's no actual mystery. You know who the bad guy is. You know what he's doing. There's really nothing to figure out. It's more watching how this person's going to get caught. Now, that can be done effectively in a mystery format, too. The TV series Columbo, for example, inverted the whole formula, where basically every episode of Columbo, you saw who did it, you saw how they did it, but the intrigue came in seeing how Detective Columbo, as he interviewed the suspect and as he interviewed the murderer, was going to catch them tripping up in their own story and their own lies.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's one, it's again, there's a lot of people who like mysteries, there's a lot of people who do it, but it's really never kind of become a big thing in film and TV, or if it does, it tends to also kind of devolve into certain points. There's an aspect to any mystery television show that I absolutely hate, and it always happens in everything. Every mystery TV show has devolved into this that I've seen. And it happened with Murder, She Wrote, it happened with Castle, it's happened with dozens of others. At some point, for some reason, everybody starts thinking, hey, let's throw spies into this. Mm. And that just changes the entire tone. At that point, it's no longer a mystery, it's an espionage show.
Right.
You know, and that's fine doing it occasionally, but sometimes those episodes tend to crop up. Castle was particularly guilty of this, and that's kind of why I stopped watching the show after season 6. So it just, some of the things that we're doing, just, it was like, this isn't a mystery series anymore, this is not what I came here for, and I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I was a big fan of, like, Sherlock Holmes, mainly because my father was a huge fan of it, and he would watch Sherlock Holmes on, like, PBS during, I can't remember that show now, but he would watch Sherlock Holmes on PBS a lot, and he really loved a specific actor, and I think his name
Jeremy Brett.
That's it. That's exactly who it was. In fact, for his birthday, we bought a DVD box set of all of his portrayals of Sherlock Holmes.
That's cool.
So, which was really, really cool. And I remember in school, I would read like mystery novels, like, you know, The Boxcar Kids or Sherlock Holmes. My dad, in fact, bought me a whole book of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's works. And I know anytime they would bring up Sherlock Holmes or anything like that, I definitely would like jump on the chance to watch it right away. So where would you put a show like Case Closed?
Case Closed actually does function for the most part as an actual mystery series.
Okay.
Now, full disclosure.
Okay.
I have only seen a handful of episodes mm-hmm. of Case Closed. Or, just to calm everybody right the hell down, Detective Conan, as it's actually known in Japan.
Right.
I've only seen a handful of episodes because I had a friend who was into it, but most of those episodes were during its brief run on Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a few episodes, and I saw what I liked, but I never really, you know, focused on the show because at that time, I was kind of burned out on anime in general.
Right.
And just didn't want anything to do with it because it seemed like it was everywhere and I was getting a little sick of seeing it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the basic concept. I watched a few episodes. And I was like, oh, these are all right. Now, there are some fantastical elements to Case Closed, which we will get into in a minute.
Right.
So, you know, there's a few anime tropes that apply here and all that. And I've been trying to get back into it mostly because about 3 or 4 months ago, I purchased both the Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan TV special and the Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan movie, and I enjoyed both of them immensely.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, maybe I better give this other thing a shot. Well, what I didn't realize is that Detective Conan has been going on for 20 years now,
mm-hmm.
if not longer, and as far as the anime goes, over here in the States, if you think you've seen all the episodes, you haven't. Because Funimation only did like about 130 of them. There are now over 800 episodes of Case Closed. And and a good chunk of them haven't even been released over here. In fact, most places where you can even watch it now, like Netflix or Crunchyroll or whatever, they don't even have all the episodes.
Right.
Like, Crunchyroll, I think, starts at like episode 825. And as for the ones that are in... that are on Netflix, they just started putting it all into collections, so they don't really do it in there. By the way, I would not recommend watching it on Netflix because for some reason Netflix's subtitle system is screwed up, so you'll go like a full 3 minutes in an episode with dialogue but no subtitles. So it's like, I don't know what they're saying. What's going on?
I agree with you because that's how I actually got into Case Closed myself was I had gone to a movie stop, which is going out of business. I had looked through the anime section because recently I've been watching nothing but anime. The night before I had watched one of my favorite, if not the only thing I've ever watched of Lupin the Third, which is Castle of Cagliostro, which I love. It's a great, great movie, done very, very well and directed by Miyazaki, which is one of my favorite Japanese directors, is Miyazaki in all his films. I was like, wow, this is really cool. It's a Lupin the Third thing. And I had heard of Detective Conan, but I never actually watched anything of it. But it was really cheap on DVD, so I was like, well, let's give this a shot. So I came home, I found out that it was only in Japanese, it wasn't English, and I'm sorry to all of the people out there who are listening, who are purists, who not have to see in Japanese. If you like to see it in Japanese, that's great. For me, though, I like to hear it in English, too. It wasn't in English, but that didn't deter me. I still wanted to see it, and I couldn't bring it back anyway, so it didn't really matter. So I popped it in and watched it, and it was amazing. It was really, really cool.
I think you need to clarify this, but you saw the Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan TV special.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, let me clarify. I saw the TV special, which was amazing. The animation was spot on. And this was really weird because usually I don't like it when cartoons that cross over will either try to merge the two different animation styles together, because a lot of times it doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. I can't think. I'm trying to think of a good example of it, but I just don't like it when they cross cartoons and they try to merge each other's They try to just keep the same style, but merge the two animations together. But what I do like though is like shows like the Jimmy Timmy Power Hour when they did that, where when the characters went into one world they were one animation style, and when they went into another they were another. However, this show, this TV movie blended very well together. Maybe it was just because it was anime. Maybe because Detective Conan and Lupin have a very similar art style, maybe? I don't know. But it merged very well.
Yeah, basically, for those who haven't seen it, the Detective Conan characters are drawn in their canonical style. The Lupin the Third characters are drawn in their canonical style. And it can be a little jarring from time to time, but it actually works.
Yeah.
Honestly, in my opinion, if you look at it, it really... That particular one... the follow-up, the actual Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan movie, which was released in theaters in Japan, works a little bit better as a full-fledged crossover. Whereas the special, and this is not saying anything against the special, it's excellent and I recommend you see it, feels more like this is a Detective Conan story with the Lupin the Third cast guest starring.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that statement. Yeah, it's definitely a mystery. Just Lupin happens to be there.
But it has great scenes with everybody interacting. Conan annoying the hell out of Jigen through the whole thing.
I love it. calling him Pops.
Papa, yeah. And they keep that bit up in the follow-up movie.
Awesome.
It's great.
So
I mean, they do like this little... The great thing is about the movie, they actually do this little... They do the... And I think they did in the special. I haven't watched the special in... a couple of weeks, so I don't remember exactly. For anybody who's only a fan of one series but not the other, they give you a little primer on the major characters and the major premise behind everything. And when they're doing the one in Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan the movie, they do the whole recap of the Lupin gang, and when they're talking about Jigen, they show him showing off, and then the last thing you see is him holding up a sign saying, "Don't call me Papa."
That's hilarious. Yeah, I love that. I have to say, my favorite scene in that movie has to be the end, where the usually in Case Closed, we'll go a little bit more about that later, but Detective Conan will tranquilize Rachel's father.
Okay, but next full disclosure.
Yeah.
We will be using the English dub versions of the names of the characters. We know what they are, but frankly, having known Uber Nerd for as long as I have, he cannot pronounce a Japanese name to save his life.
I'm actually pretty good at now, but I'm just so used to the English version of the names that I just don't care.
Yeah. Using the English dub names, much like we will be referring to the series as Case Closed. If you don't like it, we're sorry.
I'm sorry.
You know what? They're just easier to say, and they're the names that that anybody who is not a friggin' weeaboo from hell will know the names of these characters. So,
Rachel usually tranquilizes Rachel's father, and then, Conan uses his bow tie to do his voice and kind of...
There's a gizmo in the bow tie that lets him do that, if you're not...
That usually in any detective show, there's always a scene where the detective kind of brings you through how he got to why the murderer did what they did.
In mystery parlance, this is known as the parlor scene.
Right.
May not actually take place in a parlor, but Agatha Christie popularized it. Get all the suspects in one room, and the detective slowly and agonizingly takes you through
the solution
of the mystery. They're compelling, but sometimes you go, this is just really weird.
Yeah. I will have to say, though, that scene, that parlor scene in that movie was done very, very well. And the fact that, Conan figured out that, Lupin had disguised himself
as Zenigata instead of Richard.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he had Lupin act out everything. Hilarious. Oh, my gosh. I cried because Lupin was, like, cheesing everything. And it was so good. So I did really love that. All right. Now, that's how I technically got on the show. Because after I watched the movie, I was like, wow, this is great. I need to watch more. And so I found out that at least the first 5 seasons are on Amazon. Funimation is selling them. They're $20 a piece. Even cheaper than that. I think some of them are like $15, depending on what you're looking for. But yeah, I got them pretty cheap. And I've been watching them. One of the things that I enjoy about the show is that there's really no mystical element to the show. You know,
well, there's one, but we'll get into that in a minute.
There's like a weird science element, but no, like, there's no mystical element. There's no, you know, demons or anything like that in the show. It's pretty much just a mystery, and I like that about the show. So let's talk a little bit about how this show is set up. What is this whole thing all about for those of you who've never even seen the show ever before? So, but what I'm going to do is I'm just basically going to teach you the setup, which is pretty much the first two episodes. So I'm not going to spoil too much. There is going to be a little bit of spoiling and dubious.
But content. Honestly, the show's been in existence for 20 years. Yeah. I don't think you need to.
Right. And dubious con will correct me if I'm wrong at any point, but I think I've...
Oh, yes, I will.
I think I've rehearsed it pretty well.
Okay.
Because I kept telling people about it as kind of a rehearsal for this. So anyways, all right. So we start off with Cave Clothes. So we start off with our main character, who is Jimmy Kudo.
A.K.A. Shinichi... What is it? What
Kudo.
Is his actual...
His last
yeah,
name
Shinichi Kudo. Yeah, Shinichi Kudo.
Shinichi Kudo. And so Jimmy is kind of this rising detective who has been helping the case out. And if I could coin a phrase from Sherlock, he is kind of a consulting detective.
He's also a teenager. He's in high school.
He's 17 years old, and he idolizes Sherlock Holmes to the point where he wants to be Sherlock Holmes. Now, his father is a mystery writer, and his mother is an actress. And they're off abroad. We're not exactly told where, because this is an anime. Because parents
would just be inconvenient.
That's right, because
parents are always inconvenient.
But so Jimmy goes around and helps the police out when they're out of their depth and they need some help. They get Jimmy to kind of help them out. So as this is going on, Jimmy has become really famous in the city that he lives. Everyone in the city knows who he is. Everyone knows that he's this detective kid, this detective teenager, and he's you know, loving every minute of it.
Jimmy Kudo, boy detective.
That's right. He is loving every minute of the fact that he is in charge, that he is, you know, famous, and that these girls are fawning over him, and, you know, everything. He has a big head, pretty much. But then, of course, his head is usually brought down, and sometimes by force, by his friend, his lifelong friend, Rachel Moore.
AKA Ron Mori.
Yes. And Rachel is kind of they say a karate expert, but I think she's into any type of martial arts, really. She's also kind of like the, I don't know, kind of the straight person, the straight and narrow, like the conscience of the group. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. She's like the conscience of the group. You can tell that both Rachel and Jimmy kind of have a thing for each other. But they're both kind of, they can't say it to each other. They can't say that they like each other.
Because Japan.
And so what happens is Rachel has just won a regional tournament. And Jimmy promised Rachel he would treat her to a trip to this new theme park that just opened up as kind of a reward for, you know, placing in this martial arts tournament. So they go. And, because apparently death follows Jimmy wherever he goes, they go on a roller coaster ride, and there's a murder, lo and behold. And, of course, Jimmy solves said murder. Now, on the train were two suspects. Now, when I was watching the show originally, I thought they were just red herrings, which means that they were people that they put in to make you think they were the villains, but they're not the villains at all. These two guys in black suits. And, lo and behold, they technically were red herrings. You couldn't find... You thought that they were the ones who killed this person, and turns out that wasn't. So after they solve the case, everyone leaves, and Rachel and Jimmy walk off. And as Rachel and Jimmy are walking, Jimmy notices one of the guys in black that was on the ride with them running off into the distance. And so he decides to go follow him because, you know... He's probably up to no good because he's wearing black trench coat. Because all black people wearing black trench coats are probably up to no good.
All black people wear... You racist!
I said black trench coat wearing. Darn you. Anyways.
The Cartoon Connoisseur podcast does not condone racism in any shape, way, or form.
So he runs off. He sees them doing some type of shady deal. Now, we're not exactly sure what kind of deal they're making. They're making some deal. We don't know what it is all about. Okay? But he sees it. He doesn't notice, though, even though I really think he would have, that there were three people, but he's only seen two. And when he realizes it, the third person comes up and bashes him in the back of the head with a pipe and knocks him cold. All right? Now, the other person who was making the deal pulls out a gun and says, let's just finish him up here and now. And the guy that bashed him over the head said, no. We can't shoot a gun in the middle of a theme park. It'll cause a panic. Let's do this quietly. Our organization made this special drug. We're going to give it to him. He's going to die quietly, and then we don't have to worry about it. Them finding whatever is going to happen to him. So they give him this experimental poison. Now, this at first it wakes Jimmy up because he can feel the poison working in his body. The way that they said it in the anime is that he feels like his bones are on fire. And then as the poison is slowly working, he slowly loses consciousness. But then he wakes up and there's some security guards over him and they keep calling him little boy. What are you doing here, little boy? Why are you in the middle of nowhere in this dark, shady area of the park? What are you doing here? And he's like, little boy, I'm not much older than that guy. Why does he keep calling me little boy? And then he notices that his clothes that he was wearing don't fit him anymore, that they're way too big. And this kind of scares him, so he runs off. And as he's running, he runs past a convenience store, which conveniently has a reflective window. And he notices that... the reason why his clothes don't fit anymore is because he is turned back into, and this is a debate between the English and the Japanese dub, but it's either 6 or 8 years old. He's around 6 or 8 years old now. At least his body is.
Yeah, physically around 6 or 8 years old.
Right. He's around there. And so he goes to run home, and as he's running home, he tries to get into... He tries to get into his house, but he can't because he can't reach the latch to open it anymore because he's shorter now. But lo and behold, an explosion happens, and out of the explosion comes Dr. Agasa, who is a neighborhood and friend to Jimmy and his family, and is this kind of like, you know, local adventurer, think Doc Brown type, but a little more eccentric, which is saying something. Jimmy convinces, the professor that this is, you know, I'm Jimmy, you know, I'm just in this kid body now. I don't know how I got this way. And so after finally convincing the professor, they go into Jimmy's house and for some reason decide to go in the library of all places in that huge apartment, this huge mansion that he lives in. They decide to go into the study. So they go into the study and, you know, Jimmy's like, I've got to tell people about this. This is crazy. I've got to call the cops. And the professor's like, wait, hold on. Time out. If you start telling the cops and you start telling people who you are, whoever tried to kill you is going to try to come back to finish the job. Right now, they think you're dead. So you need to not tell anybody. And he's like, well, okay. And he goes, especially Rachel. And he's like, okay. And just as he says it, who walks into the door and apartently has a key to their mansion there, but none other than Rachel herself, who comes in and is like, oh, what's, you know, I was looking for Jimmy. I was worried about him. He didn't call me. They let me know he got home. I don't know what's going on. Where is Jimmy? And a professor's like, I don't know. And Jimmy himself's like, well, I don't know either. And then Rachel looks at Jimmy, who is now a kid, and she's like, oh, look, a little boy, he's so cute. What's your name? And as Jimmy's trying to figure out what he's going to tell her, he backs up into the library where he sees a whole books. And what do the books say? Sherlock Holmes by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And he goes, my name's Conan. I'm Conan Edogawa. I'm the professor's relative somehow. So then after getting talking and the professor getting into this whole act, the professor asked Rachel if she and her father can take care of Jimmy, because his house apparently is too dangerous for children to be in.
Which will prove to be an absolute lie later, but...
Right. Rachel says, okay, that's fine, but I gotta bring it over with my father first, but it should be fine. He should be fine with that. And the professor says, yeah, you know, I would take care of him myself, but, you know, because his parents are in a car wreck, they're going to be in the hospital for a while, just take care of him, and that'll be great. And so, you know, Rachel takes little Conan back to her house. Now, as they're walking, Rachel still has kind of a worried face, and Jimmy finally realizes that he can get some information out of her. So he looks at her with kind of a snide look, and it's like, so, you look kind of worried. Why are you worried for? And she goes, well, my friend Jimmy, I thought he'd be at his house, but I guess he wasn't, so I hope he's okay. And he goes, oh, Jimmy, really? Who's this Jimmy guy? And she goes, well, you know, Jimmy is a lifelong friend of mine. I've known him since I was a kid. You know, we've been friends forever. And he goes, oh, so I guess he's kind of special if you're worried much about him. And she's like, yeah, I guess maybe. And then flat out says, yeah, I guess I kind of am in love with him. And of course, Jimmy's like, oh, what?
We should point out something, though, that just reminded me of something. We should point something out that, in personality-wise, that even though he's disguising him, not saying who he is,
right.
Jimmy enjoys pretending to be a 7-year-old kid.
Right. And so he figures this out and is blushing the whole way home. Then we, of course, get introduced to Richard Moore. So we get
Richard Moore in Japanese.
Right. Richard is kind of this also private eye, private detective. He's an idiot. Well, I don't know. I kind of feel he has some detective skills, but they usually use him as kind of, if I could use a comparison to Sherlock Holmes, he's kind of like a dumbed down version of Watson, I would say. He can kind of put some things together, but they're usually wrong. Roger is losing clients to Jimmy. So he kind of is a little resentful of the whole fact. Well, as they come out, Roger has just gotten a case. And so, you know, Rachel and Conan kind of join with him and try to find out, you know, this case. And they go through this case. And Conan actually solves the crime, but Roger gets the credit for it. And because of this, Richard starts becoming a more popular detective. And at first, Jimmy's like, you know, I'm the guy who's coming up with all this. Her father's an idiot. But the professor tells him, listen, just deal with it. Maybe you can use Richard to try to find out who's the one who's poisoning you. And so that's where all the setup comes from. Now, that's pretty much episodes 1 and 2. I'm skipping a whole bunch of things, especially the two cases that they know. There's like 3 cases that they solve in those 2 episodes. So, yeah, that's pretty much the setup of this whole thing. So, just a little bit of information. Like we said earlier, Case Closed is kind of the American version. The reason why it was called Case Closed is because Detective Conan apparently is already trademarked by somebody else. I wasn't able to find out who, unless you know Dubious Con.
No, I do not.
Okay, well, apparently it's already used by somebody else. So they couldn't use it, so that's why they called it Case Closed. But in Japan, it is called Detective Conan. Funimation was the one who did the broadcasting of the show, and they put it on Adult Swim, as we said before. It started in 2003. And they changed the names, again, just like we said before, to make them a little bit, because at that time, that's the one thing I'll talk about a little bit later, but they changed the names pretty much so that people, the American audience could be like, oh, okay, that's that character and that's that character, and not have a hard time pronouncing some of the names. which, okay, it's not that big of a deal, and I think, for some shows. Others, not so much. But this show, I will give it a slide. But this show is actually still going as of right now. Just like Dubia said earlier, this show is still going on. And it's like, what you said, what, 900, almost 900 episodes right now?
Over 800, but we're at least, if going by the numbers that Crunchyroll has, we're closing in on 900.
Yeah, so it's still going. It's still pretty popular in Japan. Apparently there's been some live-action shows in Japan. There's been several movies. Of course, the TV specials. And they've even did like PSAs using Conan. So it's a pretty popular thing in Japan. Although here in the States, though, it wasn't so popular after, I think, probably the fifth season. I think they Adult Swim went ahead and canceled the show. And so, unfortunately, I don't know if there's going to be any more episodes past that. I kind of hope they pick it up again because... Really, to tell you the truth, I think it's one of those, like you said, like the mystery genre itself, it's kind of one of those underrated shows that a lot of people are just kind of dismissed because, like I said, there's some weird science in this show, but there isn't like any kind of, you know, demons or, you know, aliens.
The usual anime tropes.
Right. So it's just a straightforward mystery. And I'll just go into my next thing. That's what I love about it. It is a straightforward mystery. And after watching so many anime with, you know, giant robots and demons and aliens and all this stuff, it was kind of a breath of fresh air, if you will. That this was just a mystery show that took place in modernish times. So it was kind of neat to watch this show. I also love the mysteries. I think the mysteries, a lot of them kind of, and like you said, one of the things I love about mysteries is trying to figure out who it is. A lot of times, me personally, I don't like them showing who the killer is because I kind of want to figure it out on my own. But I don't hate it. That doesn't make me hate it if they don't show who the murderer is or if they do show it. Another thing I like about the show is that they also do other types of mysteries besides murders. They had an episode that I can only describe as it's kind of like The Goonies, where Detective Conan, he meets these kids who, like, force their way into his life. He wants nothing to do with, like, these kids, but they just force themselves into his life.
The Junior Detective League, a.k.a. the Boys Detective Club.
Right, which is funny that's called the Boys Detective Club since there's one girl.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways,
later too, but we'll get into that.
Right. But one of the things I like about it is that, you know, they take some time to do other mysteries besides just murders. I think that's kind of neat. I think it's kind of cool. One of my favorite episodes was an episode where Conan has to figure out who this person that's going to murder somebody and actually tries to stop them before they actually murder somebody. So he tries to figure out who this person is going to be and stop them before that even happens. So I think that's really, really kind of neat and kind of a different kind of spin. Now, what do you think? I know you said you only seen a few episodes, but what do you think about the show?
The show, for the most part, works for me. There are a couple of problems that I have with it personally, but I think these are cultural rather than anything else.
Okay.
The Japanese write mysteries in a completely different way than Western authors do.
Mm.
They do things in this series, and not just in this series, but in a lot of mystery stories, where they tend to pull things out of nowhere at the end of the story to make everything work.
Right.
Okay. It's like you'll be going along, and then all of a sudden, Conan makes this deduction based off information that we haven't seen before. We have no idea where this information came from. It's just something he happened to know.
Right.
Which can make it seem kind of, well, that's kind of cheating a little bit, you know?
That's true.
It's not to say that it's bad, but it is different. And like I said, I've read a couple of other mystery-themed novels that have been translated into English by Japanese authors, and I've noticed that this tends to happen a lot. I don't know if the Japanese are just more accepting of that kind of thing. So, you know, it happens, and it's not a bad thing. The other thing, which is just kind of fun, is it's not really a complaint, but I always find it amusing because it works both ways. I know that there are plenty of people who've written anime fan fiction over the year who get the culture of Japan completely wrong. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, it works in the other direction, too. Mm-hmm. For example, if I may, over the course of the series, apparently Conan gets connections with both the CIA and the FBI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for a kid.
Yeah, in fact, the FBI agents that he has contacts with do show up in Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan the movie. But here's the thing. The problem is that the FBI shows up, is a bunch of agents that are investigating the Black Organization, and they are operating in Japan. Well, here's the problem with that. The FBI has no jurisdiction outside of American borders. None. The CIA does, but the FBI does not. That's kind of where it worked. That's kind of where the dividing line is. The FBI pretty much works more or less, they can work with other law enforcement agencies, so it's not entirely inaccurate, but sometimes just some of the stuff they do, I'm like, that's not how that works.
Right.
The FBI can't do that in another sovereign nation. You know, that's kind of the divided, that's in general, in real life, pretty much the CIA has no jurisdiction on American soil, and the FBI has jurisdiction on American soil, but nowhere else. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how that works. So, yeah, but mostly those characters tend to only turn up in storylines apparently dealing specifically with the Black Organization. Mm-hmm. So, but no, but it's like one of those things where you just go and it's like, you have no idea how this actually works, do you? Bless your little heart. But, you know, it's the same thing, but, you know, it works both ways. Like I said, there's several fan fictions and some of mine that I wrote way the hell back in the day. Just completely inaccurate as to what would actually go on.
Right. So, I mean, and like I said, that's like you said, that's kind of it's just a small thing. And I admit the murders. I sat there and I'm like, what? How? What? How?
That actually worked.
How does that work?
There's several cases where the murder gets pulled off in this bizarre way, and you're like, that's a lot of random chance to have it happen just
right,
like that.
Right, right. But I still, I know that sounds weird, but I still enjoy it though.
Oh yeah.
Like, even if in my brain it's going, no, that can't happen. Like, okay, let me give you an example. The first case, in the first episode, there was a case where they were on the roller coaster. What happened was this gymnast had somehow timed it so that she could throw a rope out so that it literally cut this guy's head off. And, like, I sat there going, wow, that's kind of extreme. And the way that they showed her doing it was, like, especially being a person who works on, you know, attractions for a living, I went, there is no way.
There is no way that would work.
No way that would work. But did that diminish my liking of that? The case? No, I just thought it was like, okay, you know, this is a fantasy, it's a cartoon, so I'm a little bit of liberty, you know, to kind of just...
These are not well-researched cases.
Right. One of the things that really bugs me about this show is the number one major mystery that they have not solved in four seasons of watching the show. And that is, why? What happened to Jimmy? Why? You know, what is this organization? What is the Black Organization? Who are they? Where are they? This experimental drug? You know, I don't understand. They've kind of teased every once and again, but the Black Organization, the only reason I know the name is because on the box set that I got, it says Black Organization. And also I heard a few things. I think they mentioned them in the TV, movie. I think they briefly mentioned them. I don't think they actually say too much, but I think they just briefly mentioned the Black Organization. But that's the only reason I know their name is because, you know, they mentioned that I've seen these things. They haven't mentioned them in the show at all, and they haven't even come back to it. Now they have tied up some loose ends. The parents, was one of them. The tying up the parents, the whole thing about the parents was kind of like one of the things where I was like, well, why shouldn't his parents know? The other thing that bugs me is this, the relationship between Rachel and Jimmy, which I love. I love their relationship. However, I would feel, I don't know, it's just maybe just me, and you can chime in if you want to. I feel that because I know Rachel's personality, I feel that if there's anyone that should know and anyone who could keep his secret, I think Rachel should know.
Yeah.
I think she should know. I don't. There is really no reason for her not to know.
Actually, I just found this meme. It's one of those motivational things. As a picture of her facepalm, 600 plus episodes later, and she still can't figure out Conan's secret identity.
No, she knows it. I know she knows it. She knows it in the back of her head because there are two episodes where she figures it out completely, and Jimmy is just he can't deny it now, and. The only way he got out of it was because of the professor and his parents. Those are the only ways he got out of both of them. But I know, I feel in the back of my mind, in the back of her mind, Rachel knows that this is Jimmy. And I just feel that, you know, but I feel that because of Rachel, who she is, the character that she is, I don't think she's going to go around blabbing that, you know, her best friend is now in the body of an 8-year-old. You know, especially since his life is in danger. I just don't feel that. And I just don't feel it's necessary.
Yeah, but Japan loves that stupid trope.
Right. Well, I mean, they use that. It's been used in many things. Superman, you know, Batman, you know, the secret identity, the whole secret identity thing. Maybe it's just because it's gotten old for me. Maybe it's a little stale for me, the whole secret identity thing. Maybe it's just me personally. I don't know. What do you think?
I just accept it as par for the course. There are certain tropes that anime always uses. That is one of them.
All right. So
you just kind of have to go, all right, whatever. Right. I don't know how long you plan on dragging this out, but right. Okay.
But yeah, I figure that she, if anyone, she should know. And it just bugged me so many times. And then the whole unraveling of how Jimmy got to, you know, what this organization is and why they want to kill people who are witnessing, you know, what they're up to is what I want to know. But they're not even revealing that.
Oh, I'm sure they do, just not immediately,
right.
Judging from... I'm also looking at the Wikipedia page right now just to try to get a general idea.
It's an aggravatingly slow burn. And as a writer myself, you know, it's like, okay, I get that, you know, the whole purpose of this is the little mystery, the episodes of the mysteries themselves. I get it. But I would like to know a little bit more about my characters. I want them to have more character development. You know, Richard, Rachel, Conan, they're pretty much all the same. And, you know, let me just touch back on that secret identity thing. Conan doesn't change his personality, you know, from Jimmy. He doesn't change his personality. The only thing that's keeping him from, you know, from other people being suspicious is the fact that he's a kid and, you know, Jimmy is supposed to be a 17-teenager, you know. And, of course, him wearing glasses a la Superman.
Apparently. Yeah, and the other thing is that let's not forget that he got the advice from Dr. Asagi, who has repeatedly been shown in the series to be a complete idiot. Brilliant man, he's all of Conan's gadgets and whatnot, but
right.
not the greatest, you know, person
right.
you want to consult for major life choices.
Right, I can get why he wouldn't tell Richard. I understand that. I get, you know, any other person in his life, I get why he wouldn't say anything. But Rachel, I feel, is the one person that he should say something to. You know,
maybe.
I think because she's figured it out twice, without
so
even,
far.
Yeah, twice, and the first time was like episode 7, and like literally, if it wasn't for Dr. Agasa, she would have figured it out. You know, she had him, like, and there was no way he could get out of it. You know, I think two of them, it was very sly what she did. If I remember, the setup was she was figuring it all out, and they were doing this case, and so Conan started spitting out information about, you know, I feel this is this, and then she's like, no, that's a great deduction, Jimmy, and he's like, oh, thanks, and she's like, you are Jimmy. He's literally sitting there going, ah, da, da, and like grabs a Game Boy and starts playing it as the only way to stop her from like literally going, I know who you are. And, you know, and then later on in that same episode at the very end, she gets her father to leave so that it's just him and her in the apartment, and he's, you know, Conan sits down, and she goes, you know, that gym teacher that we had in high school, yeah, he's really he's retiring in a couple of days, and he goes, yeah, I always thought he looked like a gorilla. Oh. And she's like, I never even talked to you about him. How do you know? And the only way he got out of that one was because Dr. Agasa called and used his voice-changing bow tie to pretend that he was Jimmy. And then the other incident was she figured it all out. And again, they tugged on that string that has always been in the back of my head going, I really don't understand why she hasn't figured this out yet. Because Jimmy looks like Jimmy when he was a kid because he's still Jimmy. You know? And I get that Rachel probably can't remember completely what Jimmy looked like as a kid, you know, because I can't remember what I looked like as a kid, and I can't remember any of my friends looked like as a kid, you know. But, you know, they had an episode where he fell asleep, and she took off his glasses and was like, wait, that face looks familiar. And she went into a photo album, opened it up, and lo and behold, there was a picture of young her and young Jimmy, and looked exactly the same. And she figured it all out. And the only reason he got out of it that time is because his mother showed up, who already knows that he's a small kid, and his mother made a very flimsy lie, and I still believe that she knows, without a doubt, that's Jimmy. But... But she kissed. She just can't prove it yet. It's just, again, it's circumstantial evidence. There's no proof yet. But I think that she knows, and it's in the back of her head, and she just can't prove it to herself or to anyone else yet. So it just bugs me so much, you know.
Yeah, but like I said, there's some tropes that the Japanese love, and that's one of them. Yeah. The one that I personally hate is they hate each other so much, so they must secretly be in love. Yeah, no, sometimes people just really hate each other.
I agree. There's a lot of tropes. Some things I love, some things I don't. But I just really that's the thing that bugs me about the most about the show. However, I do enjoy it, and even though it's a slow burn and there's really not a whole lot of character development, I still enjoy the show because I love watching these mysteries unravel. And, you know, sitting there on the couch trying to solve these mysteries yourself. And you're like, okay, who's this, you know, I saw this guy doing something shady, so that has to be, you know, and then trying to formulate your own, you know, hypothesis of how this happened, you know, and then a lot of times being utterly completely wrong. And then going, oh, okay, that makes sense, I guess. But and it's usually a lot of times I've noticed that it's usually not the person you always think right away. They always throw in some type of red herring.
Yeah.
And it's usually but
that's standard. That's right. A standard.
It's usually, I've figured out, especially with Case Closed, it's usually the person who is least likely to kill somebody, that they're the one that killed somebody.
And then the quality of the episode depends on how well they explain the motive.
Right. But I
it's like,
I
you did it. What for that?
Yeah.
You're an idiot!
The other thing I enjoy about the show is that some shows tend to just, when you find who the murderer is, they're just evil. They're just plain and simple, they're just a murderer. But a lot of these episodes, you kind of actually feel for some of the murderers. That they did these for a lot of different reasons, but none of them, you know, murdering is wrong. I get that. I understand. But a lot of the reasons that they did it were like, oh wow, okay. Well, I get why you went there. I wouldn't have killed the person, but I get why you went there. You know. So I kind of like that they kind of make you feel a little empathy for the character, for the supposed evil character. And a lot of times it's not just they're just not psycho, you know. So I was at one of the murders. They had a guy who was a computer hacker who had given his computer named his computer the name of his dead mother. And literally, I was just like, that has to be the murderer.
That's freaking creepy. The computer hacking was probably completely wrong, too.
It was.
Computer hacking is always wrong. And
right.
Computer hacking is just, nobody in the entertainment business can actually portray computer hacking accurately. Because it's boring. Anybody who actually does hacking will tell you it is boring. It is a long, tedious process.
But I love, the other thing I love about it is I love, I'm going to either say Jimmy or Conan, you know who I'm talking about. I love Conan's little commentary on a lot of things. I love when they have these little commentaries, especially about Richard. But one of the things though that bugged me at first when I started watching the show was like, he hated being a kid. Now he knows that it gives him some advantage. Because a lot of times adults tend to tell kids a lot. They tend to be a little bit more honest with children than other adults. But he does hate being a child. And at first I was like, why would he hate that? Why would he hate being a kid? And I was like, well, wait a minute. He's 17 years old. Okay, now I get it. Because he's a teenager and he's forced to go back to being a child again. You know. Now, if it was me, you know, being a 30-year-old man, being turned back into a kid, I would enjoy every single moment of it. You know, of course, take care of me. All right, fine. I don't have to pay rent or bills. Great. Awesome. But a 17-year-old, yeah, that makes sense. That they would resent it a little bit more.
It's like he's finally got respect, and now he's back to being a little kid, and nobody gives him the respect that he's earned.
Right.
That's the thing. And he's got a bit of an ego.
Right, he has a bit of an ego. And the other thing that bugs me about the show is the fact that it seems like kids, no one trusts kids. Nobody in that show. Kid could say anything, and like adults are like, oh, you're just a kid, you don't understand. Like, nowadays, I maybe that's just a of the times kind of thing, but I nowadays, like, if a kid said, I think I just saw a dead body in the bushes, I'm probably going to believe them because I don't think a kid would make that up necessarily. For the most part. Unless they were like a snotty-nosed brat, then they probably wouldn't. But for the most part, I don't think they would make that up. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of children.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well.
And I say that as a parent.
Oh, there you go. Well.
But then my son is 17, so.
There you go. Well, I don't understand why they don't trust kids, but okay, apparently they don't. So, I mean, I can understand why they don't trust Conan to unravel an entire mystery, even though he can. But I just don't... And, of course, I understand why they want to keep him away from the murder scene. I understand that. But I just don't understand why they just... Like, if a kid said, you know, I think... Look at this over here. I don't think... it's just my opinion. Anyways.
Yeah.
But anyways, as a whole, I highly suggest the show. Case closed. Very cool. You can go online and see it. Hopefully, they'll have a few more of the earlier seasons. Again, this was made around 2004, 2006, somewhere
around
there.
Well, that's the American release, anyway.
Right. So a lot of the animation is very old school, although now that I'm in season 5, it seems like the animation, at least the coloring is now done by computer now, so they've just changed that up, so... it's definitely shows, I think it's a show that people can watch even now and be like, oh, okay, all right, okay. But that's just my personal opinion. What do you think?
I agree with you. Yeah. It is a very entertaining show, what little of it I have seen. Like I said, I've been trying to watch more of it, but like I say, I preferred to go into the beginning, but nowhere online has it from the beginning,
right.
At least not that I've found. Yeah. Netflix just kind of grabs a bunch of random ones out of wherever, and like I said, for some reason, while they're usually really good about subtitles, in the case of Case Closed, there's like whole times when you'll be watching an episode and for like 3 minutes there'll be dialogue and no subtitles. And then like I said, Crunchyroll has pretty much only got like from episode 825 onward. Mm-hmm. So
but like I said too, they're on Amazon, they're pretty cheap. You know, like less than $20 a piece for an entire season. So that's not bad either. For a DVD box set that's usually 4 or 5 discs. So if you want to give it a shot, the movies are also on DVD. They are published by a company called Discotech, I believe. Unfortunately though, they are not English dubbed.
We are speaking specifically of the Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan stuff, because right now Discotech has the Lupin the Third license. I do not believe they have the Detective Conan license fully.
Right. I will have to say though, I almost skipped over one thing I really wanted to talk about. And that was the English voice acting cast. I love them. I really love the voice acting cast. The English voice acting cast did a great job. I love Richard Moore's voice. I love Jimmy's voice. I love Conan's voice. I think it fits very well. Rachel surprised me because she's voiced by a voice actress named Colleen Klinkenbeard. For those of you who probably have heard this name before... I had just finished watching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and she did the voice of, I forget her rank, but it's Hawkeye. So now spending a whole season with her as Hawkeye, and now as, and Rose, because she did Hawkeye and Rose from Full Metal Alchemist, and now listening to her do Rachel, I thought was kind of cool.
It's the usual Funimation. It's the Funimation usual gang of suspects, basically.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with their voice actors. They do a great job. I usually don't have a problem with them. There are some off lines that are usually just other characters, not the main characters. So I really enjoy the voice cast. I hope maybe they get the voice cast back. And continue on with the series, maybe if not anything, but you know, to go online, maybe. But I just wanted to make sure I brought a spotlight on the show because I really did enjoy it, and I hope maybe this will give it a little bit more press. Because I do agree with you with the mystery genre is kind of a very underrated genre, I do enjoy it. So yeah. I think that's pretty much it for our review. So,
yep, I think that does it. Yeah. I think we've covered everything.
So thank you guys so very much for listening about our review for Case Closed. Before we go, I would first like to go ahead and give Dubious a chance to kind of plug anything he wants. So please plug anything and everything that you want to plug out there, Dubious.
All right, so you can find me on the social medias on Twitter at Shallow15, that's Shallow15. I also produce videos. I have 5 different series going on right now. I have Into the Idiot Box, a showcase of the best, worst, and weirdest that television has to offer. I have Whodunit Hall, which is also an in-character show where Edgeworth the Butler takes you through the various mystery films available at the collection at the eponymous hall. There are dispatches from the Neurosthetic Confederacy, a broadcast of various news and missives from the Confederacy Council in a totalitarian future. I also do a couple of other series. I'm currently working on Legacy of the Pink Panther, a retrospective of every film in the Pink Panther franchise, as well as the cartoons. I'm currently 7 episodes available out of 12. Episode 8 will be coming soon. Speaking of retrospectives, I also do a series with the very talented Miss Nightmare of Miss Nightmare Reviews, Escape from Monster High, where we are looking at all the films in the Monster High franchise. We have 8 episodes of that available, with a 9th episode coming very soon. Let's see. I'm also on the podcast Thespian Talk from rtgomer.com. You can find that there. Or on youtube.com/thespiantalk. All my videos can be found on youtube.com/dubiouscon. That's DUBIOUS KAHN. WPJN. If you like what you see and you want to help support me making more stuff, please go to my Patreon page, patreon.com/dubiouscon. And all my other stuff can also be found at rtgomer.com, along with other reviews, podcasts, and other fun stuff. rtgomer.com, a lot of fun people that I'm sure you'll enjoy.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And, of course, for me, you can always find me on Twitter at TalesFTGameGrid. And you can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/TalesFromTheGameGrid. My monthly webcomic is on thearcadearchives.com because we're part of the Arcade Archives Network. And you can see them. They are a really great amalgamation of video games. And I'm even throwing in pop culture now, throwing a whole bunch of pop culture stuff, references. I just did a comic last month on the show that I absolutely adore, Ruby. So I'll be doing all kinds of different things. Who knows? Maybe I might even do a Detective Conan episode. Who knows? But you can find me on thearcadearchives.com. You can find us on there. Don't forget to subscribe to our feed here on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel. And I think that's really about it. So, again, thank you guys so much for joining us here for Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. And best wishes to all of you out there. Dubious, want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
You are listening to a podcast on the Arcade Archives Network. If you like what you've just heard, visit our website at arcadearchives.com, where you can check out our audio podcasts, articles, and announcements of upcoming events. You can also email us at arcadearchivesnetwork@gmail.com. You can also go to iTunes and download not just this podcast, but our other ones as well. And be sure to leave us 5-star reviews, too, while you're at it. So until next time, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.